God's precious grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto us this day from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a focal point of our message this day comes from our gospel lesson, Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. These are the words that follow our text. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, Brenda stood frozen at the edge of the diving board. Just stretch out your arms and bend your knees and let go, her father had said. Little Brenda knew how to swim, and she had jumped off the edge of the pool many times before. But jumping off the high diving board, well, that was something altogether new for Brenda. And she was frozen. What Brenda needed, of course, was to hear the words of her father and be reassured. But at the moment, that seemed impossible. Strangely, it was similar for the disciples. Jesus had just instructed his disciples in saying to them, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the same day and repents, forgive him 7 times. And the disciples' response to those words of instruction, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, I don't think I can do that. But now you think about it for a second. If somebody sinned against you 7 times today, and even if they repented of those 7 sins, would you forgive them 7 times in one day? Pretty big challenge, I would say. No wonder the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Have you struggled to obey God's will for you at all in your life, ever? I have. And I'm certain that most of you have as well. When the Lord commands us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if we're honest, we would have to agree we've fallen far short of either of those commandments. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, if we're good Lutherans, we come to church and we confess that we're poor, miserable sinners, or whatever words are being used that week. And we hear the pastor said, God in his mercy forgives you all your sins. And we tuck those sins away in our back pocket for another week. We hear a little scripture, we listen to a sermon, we sing some hymns, and we go home. We've done our Christian duty. Pretty easy, this being Christian stuff, isn't it? We trade 1 hour a week, and we get a free ride into heaven. And we can go right on living exactly as we always have. Is that true for you? Well, I sincerely hope not. I sincerely hope not. But it may be true if, for some reason, you've got the idea that you don't have to take sin seriously. But it's not really important to God or to anyone else. But you remember the woman caught in adultery? What did Jesus say to her? Go and sin no more. Are you serious, God? Sin no more? Well, he was serious. And he's serious when he asks you and me, looking for a change in us. He wanted her to change, and he is looking for a change in you and me today. Looking for something different. David declares in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He wrote those words because of the sin with Bathsheba and the participation in her husband's death. And he cried out to God, "Change me, God." So what's the change God is looking for, and how in the world do we accomplish it? Especially in light of Paul's words in Romans 8, where he tells us, "I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, that's what I do." You ever have that problem? The answer lies in God's grace, God's undeserved love for you and me. As Paul tells us to the church at Philippi, it is God in you that works in you to act according to his good purpose. God living inside of you enables you to change, to be different than the person you were yesterday, different than the person you're going to be tomorrow. You can change because God is living inside of you. So where do we start? Well, we start with faith. The Bible tells us clearly, without faith you can't do anything. Without faith it's impossible to please God, is the exact quote. So we must start by believing that Jesus really is there for us, that he really came to this earth to suffer and die, to remove those sins, and to make us new persons in him. Where? Over there, at the baptismal font, or one like it. All drowned, all sins and evil lust, and a new person comes forth. Today, new. And the disciples responded, "Lord, increase our faith." They knew that they had failed, and you and I know that we have failed in the past, but we do not give up. Because of God living in us and because of his grace, we have a fresh day today to start over. Paul declared it this way, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he answers it, "Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's right, we've won. We're victors. And we have Christ inside of us, making a difference. There's an old story, maybe you've heard a version of it before, but the fellow who was walking, took a walk late at night, and he found himself on the edge of a very steep cliff, and all of a sudden the ground underneath him gave way and he started to tumble down the cliff. And he was grabbing out for anything to hold on to, and he grabbed a hold of a strong root and he hung there in the dark. And he called out in the dark, "Hello, help, help, I'm down here, can somebody help me?" It seemed like a long time, but then he saw a bright light at the top of the cliff and shining down him, and the person behind the light said, "Let go, you'll be all right." And the fellow hanging to the root was silent for a while, and then he cried out, "Is there anybody else up there?" But But the answer is no. There is nobody else up there. Scripture says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. And Jesus tells Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. Out of our predicament. Someone once pictured it this way. Imagine that you were going along and you fell into a deep well. 30 feet down, you tumbled. On the way down, you broke both arms and both legs. And you lay at the bottom of that well, helpless, unable to do anything. And Jesus climbed down into the well, put you on his back, carried you up out of the well, healed your arms and legs, and sent you on your way. That's the picture of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Similar story maybe came to mind about a fella falling amongst thieves and such, huh? Called a Good Samaritan. We know that story well. Jesus is that Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who has climbed down to the well of our despair and said, I love you, and I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to make you a new person. Changed by God's grace. An alcoholic was in treatment for a short while, and she confessed to her counselor, I'm afraid of life without alcohol. I have nothing to hang on to. I have nothing to cling without alcohol. I ask you today, what are you clinging to? Is it your wallet? Your own self-confidence, your job, your health, your personal abilities. Sometimes we cling to other things instead of clinging to God. He wants us to cling to Him only. Remember the fellow who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus talked about the law, and he said, I did all of that. And he said, well, one thing you lack, give to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. And he went away discouraged because he was clinging to his wealth. And Moses went up on the mountain and we're gone a while, and the people said, Aaron, build us a golden calf because we want a God we can see that we can cling to. And the woman at the well had had 6 husbands. And now another one who wasn't even her husband because she felt she needed to have somebody else to cling to. And Jesus told her, I'm the one you should cling to. He tells you and me today, He is the one that we need to cling to. He is the one who provides the answers. But we must ask ourselves, what are we clinging to? Have I realized that the only thing worth holding on to in this life is my Savior, Jesus Christ? That's the only thing. In our Old Testament lesson, the prophet Habakkuk cried out to God, how come this place is so rotten? How come everybody that's bad is succeeding? How much longer do we have to put up with this? And God didn't answer Habakkuk, did he? Did you hear the answer at the end? The righteous shall live by faith. It doesn't matter how long you're living in a difficult situation or how long the trials of this world get to you. And if you listen to the news at all, you know this world is a terrible place. The righteous live by faith, God tells us. It's the same thing he said to Habakkuk. The righteous shall live by faith. Let go and let God. There is no one else up there. Now, is living by faith easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely. That's why we fail at it every day. Because it's not easy. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And what did Jesus answer? If you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Have you moved any mulberry trees today? But that doesn't make your faith weak. Because you maybe today, with God's help, will remove Satan from being your guide and rely on Jesus. You can, with God's help, living inside of you, remove the evil that's keeping you separated from God. There was a terrible drought in a small western town. The local pastor told his parishioners, nothing will get us out of this except God. Go home and fast during the week, and God will send rain. Come back next Sunday expecting God to send rain, and I'll lead you in prayer asking for that rain. Well, the next Sunday, the pastor stood at the outside on the front steps of the church and watched his weary parishioners coming to church. And suddenly he called out to them in anger and he said, go home! I won't pray for you because you did not trust God. But pastor, they said, we fasted all week and we prayed. But you did not believe, said the pastor. If you would have believed, you would have brought your umbrellas. Does that sound silly to you? Does that sound foolish? God wants our faith to be put into actions. We need to bring our umbrellas. We need to bring our actions and put our faith there. Too many times faith is separated from who we really are by a huge lake called lack of trust. Remember Jesus teaching in that house that was so packed with people that those fellas that brought the guy on the pallet couldn't get in. So they put their faith into action. They went up on the roof and they made a hole in that guy's house. That was a bad thing, I thought. But they did it because they needed to get their friend down in front of Jesus because they believed that he would heal them. He would heal that man. And it says Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? He saw the action. They made a hole in the roof. That's a big action. They put their faith into action. We need to put our faith into action. Today, Christ challenges us in his word. He said, if your brother sins against you and you rebuke him and he repents, you are to forgive him. And if he does it 7 times in the same day and repents, you are to forgive him 7 times. Parents, how are you doing at forgiving your children and loving them? If you don't forgive your children, where are they going to learn forgiveness? Out in the world that we live in today? Forgiveness is what sets a Christian apart from everything else in this world. Do you realize that? Nowhere else do you find forgiveness but in the Christian church. Employers, do you forgive your employees? Employees, do you forgive your employers? Spouses, do you forgive each other daily? Forgiveness is unique to the Christian way of life. We need to practice it. We need to demonstrate it. Nobody else learns forgiveness except from being forgiven. You and I have been forgiven by a loving Savior. We need to put our faith in Jesus into action and forgive as we have been forgiven. That's not easy. That's not easy. We've come here for 1 hour, but there's 67 more hours in the week. We need to forgive all 167. That's a job for you. But remember, Christ is in you. Christ is in you, willing you to do His will. He can make it happen in and through you. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.